The following message by Apostle Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, making Him known to others, and spreading the kingdom message around the world. Check out our website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice.
In this gospel of the kingdom, good shall be spread across the world.
Coming up today, Dr. Dana Carson will teach us the ultimate purpose we were placed on this earth, vision.
He's simply saying, I'm the resurrection. Throw me down, but I'm resilient. I'll get back up. I don't care what the situation is. There is no such thing called too late because I'm the resurrection. The thing can be ancient, but it ain't nothing because I'm the resurrection. I can raise it back up. I can raise your lost dreams. I can raise up your lost hopes. I can raise up your lost health. I can even raise up your dead body. I am unstoppable.
When you understand you were placed on earth for a specific purpose, then nothing can stop you. You were created in the image of God, and we are the highest of all His creations. In today's message, Dr. Carson teaches unstoppable, coming from Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 20.
DCKM, Dana Carson, Kingdom Ministries.
The Bible states that Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden to Evid and Shamar, the two Hebrew words, tend and to keep, which is translated to serve and to worship. So Adam's work in the garden was his worship, because his work was tied to the command of God. God put him there to work, to tend and to keep, Evid and Shamar, to act priestly, to worship. He put him there. Now, he had parameters, and his parameters established his worship. Because when he stepped out of parameters, he steps out of worship. You can't worship if you have no parameters. If you say, I worship God, but I have no parameters, that's an impossibility. What makes you worship means that you follow the parameters of God. But if there are no parameters, there really is no God. Because what good is a God who says nothing, who does nothing, and requires nothing? So worship entails obedience. Thus, Adam in his worship was obedient to God. But once he was disobedient, he was no longer a worshiper. He was a rebel. He rebelled against God. And thus, he needed redemption. God told, worship is so important, that God told Pharaoh to release his people that they may worship. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may worship me on the mountain. When we get a look into heaven, in Isaiah chapter 6, we see the angels in worship. The Bible says with two wings they covered their eyes, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they did fly. Thus, the angels explain to us, worshiping God is about having reverence for God, humbling oneself, and then serving. You cannot have worship without obedience and service. Jesus states to Satan in the wilderness, as Satan tells him, bow down and worship me, and all of this can be yours. Isn't that something? The devil's a bold booger. I mean, you know he's bold, and some of you just really don't understand how bold he is, and that's the reason you refuse to acknowledge his activity in your life, because you're like, this can't be the devil. Not like this. The devil goes right up in the Garden of Eden while God's there and talks to Eve while God's looking. Eve gives the fruit to Adam while God's looking. Adam says, crunch, while God's looking. God's in the flesh in Jesus, but his divinity is clothed and hidden by his humanity. So he doesn't operate out of his divinity. He operates out of his divinity. So when he's being tempted in the wilderness, divinity is right there. And if Satan will challenge the humanity of Adam, that is comprised in fully God, fully man, Jesus. His divinity did not experience this. It just did not participate. And Satan tried to tell his humanity, ignored the divinity that gave you birth. Bow down and worship me, and you can have all of this. So he tried to tell the God man to bow down and worship, and you can have what's already yours. And he's so good, it tempted his humanity. And the only way the humanity could overcome, it had to pull on the divinity and say, get thee behind me, for as it is written. He couldn't go, Alpha, of his passion, his drive, his commitment. He had to go off of the word of God. Y'all don't like me. So when there are no words, see, he had parameters that defined his worship, even when his passion wanted to do something else. See, Jesus told him we're to worship God only, and he shall we serve. Jesus told the woman at the well, who was lonely and distraught, that the Father is seeking sincere worshipers. And those that would worship him in spirit and parameters and truth. It won't just be, I love him in my heart. John 4:23. See, Satan can't worship any longer, nor can he offer praise. Thus, he is a nihilistic, diabolical maniac. And he's bitter towards God, and he's jealous of you. You go through the hell that you go through because you can do what he can't do. And rather than you doing what he can't do, you ignore the value of doing it. And so he keeps your life filled with hell. But if you ever do what God created you to do, the Bible says that Paul and Silas was in the jail cell, and they were hurting for a while, and they were trying to recoup and recover from that whip and beat down. But the Bible says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. And all of a sudden, when they started singing praises unto God, the Bible says the earth started to shake. Some preachers say God was on his throne and he started patting his feet, and the earth is his footstool, and he started patting his feet, and the earth started shaking, and the chains started breaking, and the door started opening. Because as long as he stayed in that cell crying and weeping about what he went through and how hard it is, he would have still been in those chains. But the moment he did what Satan could not do, give God praise, he put on the garment of praise. Y'all don't like me. I wish I had somebody. Listen, he put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are some things you in that God can deliver you out of it if you just learn how to do what the devil can't do. Give God a praise. I wish I had about two or three people that would just lift up their hands, show back their head, and just say, I love you, Lord. You're great and you're mighty. Now, he's bitter towards God and he's jealous of you. Why? Because you can worship. Why? Because you can praise. Why? Because you won't give up. Why? Because you're resilient. Why? Because you're unstoppable. No weapon. Come on, tell somebody you're unstoppable. Thus our text. Our text today is a text that personifies resilience and the spirit of confidence, or being unstoppable. The context of our scripture is amidst one of the most crucial events in the life of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah of the world. Knowing who he was and knowing his divine purpose, he mentioned on several occasions that I must be about my Father's business. He said, my meat and drink is to do the will of the Father. He also said, I was sent by the Father. And only those, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And I only say what I hear the Father saying. Jesus is well aware of who he is and what his mission is all about. He understands his purpose. John writes it, and he says in 1 John 3:8, he says, for this purpose, or for this reason, was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. If you don't believe in the devil, you can't believe in Jesus, because Jesus manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He's aware of who he is and his mission, knowing that he and the Father are one, and that his incarnation is a reflection of the divine presence on the earth. He looks around his setting. He's with the disciples at a place that's considered, or was considered, one of the seven wonders of the world, the panoplia of Greek gods. He found himself surrounded by idol gods while being God in the flesh. Can you imagine? He found himself being surrounded by idol gods by being God in the flesh, who did not make a reputation of himself, but humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. As he took note of the area he was surrounded by, the so-called council of the gods. The text is positioned in Caesarea Philippi 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. It was mainly a non-Jewish population. It was a place known for its religious association. It was scattered with temples of ancient Syrian Baal worship, at least 14 in the neighborhoods. It was also known as the birthplace of the god Pan, the god of nature, which Caesarea was known for and formerly had been called Panias, god of nature, the wild, shepherd, flock, goats, mountain wilds, and is often associated with sexuality. Also a satyr, half man, half goat. The legion of Greek gods were around the region of Caesarea. There was also a great marble temple built to the built to the godhead of Caesar. Caesarea means Caesar's town, changed from Panias by Philip, Herod's son. It was a city known for the might and the divinity of Rome, glistering with white marble. It was beautiful. Jesus, I want you to see this context. Jesus, a penniless rabbi who needed to go to a fish mouth to be able to get his tax money, surrounded by 12 ordinary men, overlooking the splendor of both the Syrian and Greek gods. There he had Apollos, Ares, Atlas, Cronus, Dionysus, Eros, Heracles, Hermes, Venus, Poseidon, Prometheus, Zeus, Diana, Aphrodite, Artemis, and more. God's all around him. And he asked this question amidst of all of the Greek gods. He looks. And he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He looked to his disciples and asked them, if these are gods, then who do men say that the Son of Man am? Who do they say that I, the great am, is? Thus, the church is built upon the identity of Christ. Thus, Christ asked two of the most important questions asked in human history, and the questions that separate Christianity from all other world religions. The identity of Christ, the messianic secret. Who was he? Who is he? The church is built upon the identity of Jesus. Thus, in order to embrace the church, you must embrace the Christ. And in order to embrace the Christ, you must embrace the church. One thing makes the other thing necessary. You cannot embrace the Christ without embracing his church. You cannot love the parent without loving the child. You cannot love Jesus without loving his church. I'm almost over, y'all. He asked this question. The profundity of the response of Peter and the disciples. They look around at the Greek and Syrian and Roman gods, and they say, well, some say you Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets, so even John the Baptist reincarnate. He says, but who do you say that I am? See, some of you, you still going off of your mama's revelation. Well, my mama said he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. My uncle said He's a judge that never lost the case. One of the sisters in the church says he's a bridge over troubled water. Somebody else said he's a lawyer that never lost the case. Do you know him? Now. Somebody said, don't play, Reverend. Don't play. Listen. Now, he says, but who do you say I am? See, at some point, you cannot serve the God of your mama and the God of your daddy, the God of Big Mama and Big Daddy. You've got to get a revelation of who God is for yourself. And some of us, we go to church because our mamas and our daddies and our grandparents are happy to know that we went to church. But the question is not, who do other folks say he is? The question is, who do you say he is? Thus Peter shouted out, thou art the Christ, the Christos, the anointed of God, the expected Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded and said to him, and thou art Peter, Petros, little rock, and upon this Petra, big rock, massive rock, will I build my church, Orchidemeo, will I erect and will I build my inhabitation? Root word is oikos, house. I will build that which houses my offsprings, my church, my ecclesia, those who I call out. See, most of us are familiar with these statements and have heard the exegesis of upon this rock I build my church on multiple occasions. However, the sentence after it gets lost, tends to get lost. The proclamation of the building and the coming of the church is so resounding that we totally disregard the statement of the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. While this sentence is a pivotal statement that allows sinners to be saved and the church to be built, it is the fact that forces Hades and the penalty for sins will not prevail over the resurrection. This statement lets us know that it ain't over even after I die. This is Jesus trying to let you know that they may kill me, but be assured of this, I'm unstoppable. He said, the gates of Hades will not prevail against me. The statement declares that he that ascended must first descend, and when he descends, he will definitely ascend. Or in essence, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against him, which suggests that he is unstoppable. It's going to seem like they got me, guys. Your emotions are going to be engaged and possibly out of control. It's going to look like your future is gone. It's going to be quiet for a few days. It's going to seem like ain't nothing going on. I'm going to die on a Friday, and you're not going to hear nothing all day Friday, and you're not going to hear nothing all day Saturday. But I want you to know, on Sunday. So he's letting them know you have to be able to endure 2 days of silence. See, some of us can't take it when there ain't no conversation. See, but when your promise is good, you ain't got to keep talking. See, there is power in silence sometimes. Oh, God, help me in heaven. There is power in silence sometime. Hence, God doesn't talk for 2 days. And he says, I want you to know in those 2 days, the gates of Haiti shall not prevail against me. See, Jesus' ministry was characterized by the promises of his resurrection. He made references to his body metaphorically being the temple. And if it's torn down, he would rebuild it in 3 days. He made multiple references to his disciples concerning his crucifixion and resurrection. And see, the resurrection is an extremely important issue. It is the most important single event in human history. And it helped to shape and to define world history. He has risen is the year of our Lord, or Anno Domini. Our human calendar is coordinated with his resurrection. This is 2019. Whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or a Muslim, or a Jew, or a Gentile, our human calendar says 2019 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Whether you believe it or not, you can't cash your paycheck unless it has the date of his resurrection. Your entire life is coordinated with his resurrection. It is said that there is more proof that Christ was raised from the dead than Julius Caesar ever existed. The resurrection is both a historical and biblical fact. He died. He was not resuscitated. He was not stolen. The disciples were not experiencing some form of psychosis. He was raised from the dead. What power is declared when Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. He's simply saying, I'm the resurrection. Throw me down, but I'm resilient. I'll get back up. I don't care what the situation is. There is no such thing called too late because I'm the resurrection. The thing can be ancient, but it ain't nothing because I'm the resurrection. I can raise it back up. I can raise your lost dreams. I can raise up your lost hopes. I can raise up your lost health. I can even raise up your dead body. I am unstoppable. I heard him say in the voice of the prophets, I am the Lord God. Is there anything too hard for me? Why don't you touch somebody and say, I don't know what your pain and problem is today, but I know if you give it to God, he's unstoppable. Jesus is more than resilient in that he's broken or bruised. He was broken or bruised on the cross and to the point of death. But the resurrection makes him totally unstoppable. How can you kill that which won't die? His mission was to lead captivity captive. Atone for the sins of the world. Leave sin where it belongs. And then be raised from the dead. Jesus had a 2-day pass to deal with the administration of redemption. And the finality of Tartarus. Or the upper chamber of hell. The place of the resting, or the resting place of the Old Testament saints. Who had not been raised from the dead. Jesus was the first fruit of them that slept. the first fruit of many brethren. He had to execute a two-day divine construction project to triumph over Satan, make the purchase, take the keys, and enact a two-day strategy after the Sabbath. Thus, he had orders to fulfill before he was to catch his divine escort back to the land of the living, where he had to consult with his disciples for a short period of time and then be escorted by the angels back to his throne. Why? Because he was unstoppable. Thus, the gates of Hades could not, did not, will not, cannot stop him. Thus, God is at work beneath the surface. When it's silent, God is busy positioning you for the promise. Some of you are in a predicament and you feel like the disciples, the Savior that you had your hope in, he's no longer here and he ain't saying nothing. But while it was silent on the earth, it was noisy beneath the surface. Things were happening underground. I just came to tell you tonight that God's at work in your life underground. There's some things that you don't see. There's some things that's happening that you are not hearing. But I declare and decree, if you are on the Lord's side, if you are on the Lord's team, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop you.
To hear this message in its entirety, visit drdanacarson.org and search for Unstoppable. If you would like to go even further in your understanding of the kingdom of God, we invite you to enroll in the online Kingdom Bible University. Check this out.
Are you ready to experience a greater dimension to God? The Kingdom Bible University was birthed to meet the needs of today's kingdom believers that have busy lives with family, career, and ministry. At KBU, we desire to see you fulfill your kingdom mandate and live to your Christ-centered full potential. Through KBU, you can achieve the kingdom knowledge and empowerment of the Bible that will enhance your spiritual life. KBU is your right choice for a kingdom education that is affordable, reliable, and accessible just for you. Find more information about KBU at KingdomBibleUniversity.com. And watch God transform your life, one kingdom learning opportunity at a time.
Before we end this broadcast, we would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now, acknowledging that I am a sinner and in need of your grace. Save me, Lord. Make me clean. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you said this prayer, we celebrate with you. We invite you to join online to further your kingdom journey at www.therockwoi.com and click on Join Online. We would love to assist you through your new kingdom life.
The preceding message by Dr. Dana Carson is made possible by DCKM Partners, assisting people to know God, make him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Check out his website, drdanacarson.org, where you can hear much more from the Kingdom Voice. Become a DCKM Partner today and make a difference in the world around you at www.drdanacarson.org.
In a time of social distancing, anxiety, fear, and disconnection, The Rock is here to help you stay connected to God. COVID-19 may be strong, but our God is stronger, and he's ready to give you hope and relief every day online. Dr. Dana Carson, the 21st Century Kingdom Voice, is praying for you and ministering in the Word every day on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. You have questions? He has the answers. Join us live online Monday through Friday for an hour of power at 12 p.m. Saturdays for powerful kingdom discussions at 9 p.m. Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for an extraordinary worship experience with miracles, healing, and supernatural ministry. Wednesdays for Bible study at 7 p.m. We also have an online worship experience just for your children. For more information, visit www.therockwoi.com.
The preceding broadcast has been brought to you by DCKM Partners, helping people to know God, make Him known to others, and spread the kingdom message around the world. Find out more at drdanacarson.org.